All right, welcome into Double Fries No Slaw Tuesday. I don't even know what today's date is. March 24th. I had to literally look down at the bottom of the computer screen here. Talking FSU football and whatever else. Like, I don't know. There's a call-in link in the description. I'll throw one in the comments too that if anybody wants to call in, you are more than welcome to. I have some questions today and then I have some thoughts. We'll run through those and we'll talk about really anything you guys want to talk about. I do have some ideas just in case it's me ranting on here for 30 minutes. But if you have questions, if you have thoughts, you're always more than welcome to call in. You're more than welcome to join the show. I try and do the call-ins. I know that we've been kind of sporadic here in the off season, but anytime we go live in the middle of the week, like on our Sunday shows, we're doing those more regularly. It doesn't always work to have a call in because usually we have a lot we want to talk about and just get out. But listen, if you can't call, if you watch this on replay and you want to call in, just the next time we go live, the call in link is always the same. In fact, it's been the same for like 3 or 4 years now. And so I should probably reset it at some point. But if you save the call in link, you're welcome to call in at any time. Appreciate our friends over at Tallahassee Ford, also our friends over at Guthrie's. We'll talk about both of them more later. As people are getting in here and we're just kind of getting started and talking about things, big baseball game tonight. I put the baseball hat on. I had thoughts of going to the baseball game tonight. You know, Jacksonville's about 3 hours though from my house. So that's a nine hour commitment. If the game only lasts 3 hours, 3 hours there, 3 hour game, 3 hours back. If you get there early and you want to tailgate or do anything else, I don't know. It's just a long day, but I know we primarily talk about football. The thing I hate about playing UF, and I said this on social media, like a couple of weeks ago, we played them. They had just, I don't know, Harlan, who did they play? High Point or something? I know High Point just played. Maybe that's why I'm thinking of High. But like, they should have got swept that series. And they had a High Point or whoever it was that they played had a big comeback in the night. Florida had a big comeback in the ninth inning where High Point walked like 18 guys. But they should have got swept that series. It was High Point, just to confirm. And then they come out against us 2 nights later and just look like the 1927 Yankees. And they go to Alabama, who was unranked last weekend, and they got swept by them. And they'll come out tonight and just play absolute lights out. And it sucks because you always want to beat your rivals. And Florida State's had back-to-back, top 15 series wins. NC State was top 10 when you just beat them. And they've won 5 of 6 ACC games. They're all the power rankings. I mean, they're not ranked the highest in the ACC, but all the power rankings put FSU at the very top of the ACC because of the way they've opened up the year and had really good weekends the last 2 weekends. And they'll come out tonight and Florida will just, I mean, this is their Super Bowl. They haven't been good the last few years in baseball and they'll just, I don't know. I'm not being negative about things, but I already know how it's going to go tonight. this game means everything to UF. And if you lose a couple of regular season matchups on Tuesday nights to UF, obviously it's not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things, but it would be nice to win. But anyway, all that said, I don't know if anybody's going to watch the baseball game or excited for that, but I am excited for the baseball game tonight. I'll probably be disappointed afterward and I'll pretend like baseball that, you know, the midweeks don't matter. But it would be nice to win a series because they absolutely suck on the weekends and somehow turn into the greatest show on turf when it's a Tuesday night. So anyway, all right, call-in link is there. Couple of thoughts, couple of questions, and we can get into it. Harlan, last week, did we talk about the win total? I know we talked about quarterback battle. I know we talked about, I don't think we talked about the win total. We did? Okay, we didn't. All right, that's a good place to start. FSU's win total. Let me make sure that I get this right. FSU win total 2026. Six and a half wins. All right, let's restart that segment just so it's a little cleaner. FSU's win total in 2026, year 7, under Mike Norvell at 6.5 wins, which I think if I was setting this line, I think I would set it at 5.5. But Vegas giving us an extra win and telling us that they think that in mid to late November, Florida State will be fighting for a bowl game. I just kind of wonder what, when you look at the schedule, we've talked about it and I won't do a full schedule breakdown, but obviously you're going to beat New Mexico State. You're going to beat Central Arkansas. You feel pretty good about the BC game, I would think, although you haven't won a road game in 2 years, but you kind of think like there's three wins. Outside of those three, are there any games on the schedule that you just say are an absolute sure thing win? Because I don't think there are. And that's not even me being down, but I think the SMU game is going to be tough. I think it's winnable, but I think it's going to be tough. I think the Bama game is going to be tough. I think Virginia coming to town is going to be tough. That is a team that replaced a lot. So I do think that's very winnable. At Louisville on a Friday night, to me, is very tough. At Miami, I think, is a loss. Clemson is going to be a tough game. At Pitt on a Friday night is going to be very tough. And then NC State and Florida to close things out. I think both of those are tough. I think CJ Bailey is really good. And I think Florida, you know, with a bad quarterback and a 4-win team, absolutely beat your brains in last year. So I'm not saying you lose all those games, but I do think they're really tough. And losses in any of those games would not surprise you. I guess maybe the one redeeming thing for Florida State is how many auto losses, like absolute sure thing losses, exist on this schedule. Miami, probably. And then Bama's probably close to that. I mean, you did beat them last year, so that's why I think that it's not quite the same as Miami. I think Miami's a better team than Alabama right now. I don't think anybody would argue that. But both on the road, like those are probably two kind of sure losses. You've got three probable wins. And then you've got, what's that leave? Seven varying degrees of difficulty. Like I'd probably get the Florida one closer to a loss than a win right now, but I think that's a winnable game. So anyway, year seven and your win total is 6.5. So I guess here would be the question. Even if you were to say you get to 7 wins, like you go the over on the win total, you exceed expectations, right? Not necessarily what my expectations are for the program or what anyone who remembers who Bobby Bowden is, what their expectations are for the program. I don't really know what the internal expectations are. Like if I'm Michael Alford, I don't know what he considers a successful season. And I think that's the big question that fans will never get an answer to. But in year seven, when you've built this entire program yourself and you still have, and we talk about NIL all the time and rev sharing and all that, it would surprise me if Florida State's not like a top 20 to 30 spender. I know like we like to say, oh, well, we can't get the elite guys because we don't spend enough, or we don't have the Miami or Texas Tech or Georgia or Ohio State type money. And that's very fair. Like I don't expect Florida State to win recruiting battles against those programs. But they're certainly outspending the Wakes of the world and the Virginia Techs of the world and the UVAs and NC States and pretty much every other team in the ACC not named Miami. I mean, maybe Clemson spending a similar amount. Based on what I've heard from people around there, I would be surprised if Florida State's not outspending them. But with still a pretty good resource pool and being in a really bad conference with really bad teams, and in year seven of your program, for the fact that your win total is at 6.5 is incredibly frustrating. And that is the perception of FSU right now, is that in November, they're going to be fighting for a bowl. Whether they make it or not, we'll see. If they exceed expectations, obviously if they do, if they drop, you know, that half a game and they only finish with 6, they still make a bowl. But I think that would lead to the question of, okay, the national expectation for Florida State is to be hovering around bowl eligibility. Maybe they get to bowl eligibility, maybe they don't. What is good enough for Mike Norvell to retain his job? And I mean, that's a hypothetical question. I don't think any of us know the answer to that. Florida State's not going to come out and give an answer to that. I mean, maybe they'll do another evaluation at some point when they lose a bad game that they shouldn't. But nobody's going to get an answer to that. And to give Florida State some grace there, No program does this. No program says, okay, we got to get to 7 or 8 wins or we're making a change at the top, because other factors come in. Florida State starts out 6-1 and has some kind of a catastrophic injury and then falls off a cliff. I mean, that's different than losing 4 of your first 5 and then kind of having a couple, you know, crappy wins at the end to kind of save face. So different circumstances matter. The trajectory of the program matters. But for it to be year 7 and us just be fighting for a bowl, just fighting to, I mean, it would, to play in the Pop-Tart Bowl, you got to win 9 or 10 games. So I am not expecting that. But to be fighting to go to Birmingham, Alabama, the second week of December, or to be fighting to go to the Sun Bowl out in Arizona is a difficult place to be. So again, I think that leads to the question of what does Mike Norvell need? What does this program need for him to get a 2027? And I know a lot of people are out on Mike Norvell either way, and they don't want to see him coach in 2027. I don't think he's the long-term answer at Florida State. I think the best possible scenario for Florida State is that Mike Norvell figures it out and turns it around and gets this program back to an elite status, and the 4 out of 6 years that he's been here and it's been awful, that those years were just blips on the radar and they stuck with the guy and Alford was right and the administration was right to not fire him. And I think that would be the best case scenario. Do I think that's likely? No, not at all. But I do think it would be best. And I would love, because of our financial situation, because I do think he's a good guy personally, because I don't know that I have confidence in the leadership to hire somebody new. Like, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, I want that to happen. I want Mike Norvell to figure this out. And I want Florida State to go 12-0 this year and make the playoff and win the ACC and all those other things. I am not dumb enough to think that that's a realistic possibility. I think you can look at rosters and you can say, is this his worst roster that he's put together since he's been here? I'm not talking about the 2021 that he inherited. Like, you just look at the roster every year. 24 was pretty bad, but still had some talent on it. Is this roster better than the 2024 roster? To me, that's the big question. I know that 2024 roster didn't come into the year with a 6.5 win total, right? It was closer to maybe 8.5, 9.5 at that point. I think we all took the over at that moment. So it's year 7. They're saying you're fighting for bowl eligibility. Is that the standard at Florida State for this season? Is that the expectation? Is it, hey, you won 2 games and then you won 5 games, and now if you make a bowl, we consider that progress? I don't think that would make a lot of fans pretty happy or very happy at all. I would imagine, maybe that's a good question to ask. People can comment when they watch this on replay, or you can comment live if you're watching. What would be the win total? And I know a lot of you watching are out on Mike anyway, and so you just not necessarily just want to see it crash and burn, but what would be the win total where you'd be comfortable bringing Mike back? Like, where you'd say, okay, I feel like we're heading in the right direction. To me, it's like 9. Like, I don't even think 8 is enough for me to truly buy in and believe. Now, 8 wins after you won 2 just a couple of years ago would certainly be an improvement. It would feel better. I've already talked about how difficult the schedule might be with a couple of Friday night road trips to Louisville and Pitt, a Friday game against Florida, Clemson's on the schedule, Miami, Bama on the road, SMU is really good. And then I think Virginia and NC State are very capable teams that beat you last year. I don't know that 6 or 7 wins would make me very enthused as a fan that we're heading in the right direction. 8, maybe 9 would make me feel a lot better. I mean, this schedule is good enough to where if you were to go 2.5 wins better than your expected win total, that would make me feel pretty good. If you could get anywhere, you know, if you could get to that 9 win mark. I don't think that's very likely. I don't think there's a chance that that happens. Love to be wrong on that. Love for this to get old takes exposed at some point. But if he gets to 7, I don't know that we feel much different about the program after a 7-5 season than we do right now. And so there's the expectation of the nation. There's the expectation of Vegas. Hey, they're getting to 6.5. They're going to be right around 6 wins, 6 or 7 wins. Okay, that's fine. what is that internal number for FSU? And again, that's just a hypothetical question. I have no idea. I'll tell you this. We'll talk about this later as the year goes on and as the offseason continues to drag on and then the season drags on. My gut is that if he gets to 6 or 7 wins, they're going to retain him. Like, I would be pretty surprised if he made a bowl game and then they fired him this year. I think that the buyout being the excuse last year, that hasn't changed. The buyout amount has not, it changed in a drastic way. You owe him, if he coaches here, $10 million a year for the next 5 or 6 years. If you fire him, you owe him $8 million a year for the next 5 or 6 years. The only thing that changes is the amount of years you have to pay that. But you're either paying, you are paying Mike Norvell between $8 and $10 million until 2031, regardless. The only difference is if you're going to win enough football games to not piss the rest of your fans off. So with that said, if they make a bowl, I think they're keeping him. So hopefully I'm wrong on that. I also thought they were going to fire him last year. So maybe I can go 0-for-2 on that and be wrong on both sides. Would love to hear your thoughts down in the comments. It's sad that we have gotten to the point where we are settling for mediocrity from Ashley. No, I agree. I think it is to go into a season and your win total be 6.5 is, I don't know, that's insane. So anyway, I am trying to be positive here today. So appreciate the comment. And if anybody else wants to comment, you're more than welcome to. If not, then Ashley can just be our hero for today for interacting with the show. I did see, okay, I will give Tallahassee Ford some love. Appreciate Tallahassee Ford. I said this on the last time we did a live, but I know we try and tell you things or go click on this link or deposit to this, you know, fantasy football thing or just whatever. There are a bunch of things we ask you to do. I would love if you just went and interacted with Tallahassee Ford on social media. Tell them you heard us talking about them on their show, whether that's on Facebook, whether that's on Instagram. I don't even know if they have a TikTok, but you just search Tallahassee Ford and give them a follow and say you saw them on this show. It does go a long way. We've got more events and more things we're doing with them this year and appreciate them for their support. Obviously, if you're in the market for a vehicle, let them take care of you, or at least give them a call and see what they can do. But if you're not looking for a car or truck right now, just go follow them on social media. You follow enough dumb meme accounts like I do, you can follow one more. So not calling them a dumb meme account, but you can follow an account that is actually pretty good. So, all right. I saw this posed on another platform, and then I saw a bunch of debate on social media about it. The idea of the negativity around the program, like, we've been negative about things, and we've been unhappy with how the program is being run and what the standard is, what the expectations are, what this program used to be or could be or should be based on the amount of money that's spent, based on the resources the program has, based on the conference that it's in. I just talked about how I think the roster is the worst one that Mike's assembled at FSU. It's still better than like 80% of the ACC rosters you're going to play this year. That might be a low bar. No, it's better than like 75%. Like, maybe Clemson and maybe Miami have better overall rosters than you from a talent perspective. But there's been a lot of talk about the negativity. And the question was posed, how much are the fans to blame? I can't even do this without laughing. How much are the fans to blame for the problems at FSU? And I think the logic there, the thinking is that, you know, the players see the negativity and then they're discouraged, and recruits see the negativity and then they don't want to come play for FSU. I understand the logic. The problems that I have with it are 2 or 3-fold. So we'll talk about them. But my answer would be no. The fans are 0% to blame for anything at FSU. And I think anyone that argues otherwise, I'll just be nice and just say I disagree with anybody that argues otherwise. Number one, to blame the fans for the crap show that we have seen for 4 out of 6 years that Mike Norvell has been here is absolutely laughable And I don't know. I don't know if you guys are chronically online like I am, where you just see everything. But it, one, shows a little bit of a lack of awareness of just how bad other fan bases are. I watched Florida fans. I watched UF basketball fans talk about wanting to move on from Todd Golden, not for personal reasons, not for accusations, but for the fact that, like, they didn't go repeat as national champions. Like, the guy won 30-something games. He was coming off of a national championship. They had a really bad game against Iowa and lost, right? And I was glad they lost. I'm never upset when UF loses. The negativity that exists within our fan base is not unique to our fan base, would maybe be the first thing that I would say. When a kid doesn't commit to FSU, are there people in the comments giving him grief that he should have gone to FSU? Absolutely. Go look at that. Go look at the kids that do commit to FSU. Go look at their comments and see if that's not happening from every other fan base that's pissed off that the kid didn't pick them. Go look at the comments of every other program out there in any sport after a loss or after a bad year or after any kind of bad run of years. It's all the same. So singling out FSU's fan base, though we wallow in this self-pity and negativity right now because of how bad things are, pretending that that is unique to FSU's fan base and FSU fans are the only ones who are negative about things, first of all, is just a lack of self-awareness because it's happening everywhere. I'm not saying it excuses it. I'm not saying it makes things that people say that are unhinged okay, but it's not just happening around FSU. Go read a Clemson message board for some fun and laughs and giggles and all of that. Go read a Texas one after they looked the way they did, or an LSU one. Now, they're LSU super happy right now, but go read LSU stuff for a while. Like, go back and look at October, November timeframe. So, first of all, it's not unique to FSU. Second, the idea that players who are making hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, can't handle social media criticism is also way off base. Like, first of all, there is the ability in today's day and age to literally just not look at social media. And I know a lot of these kids can't do that because they are very about themselves and they very much want to see what everybody's saying about them, and they name search and everything else. Again, thinking that that's unique to FSU is off, but thinking that you can make millions of dollars playing a sport and then underperform when it is those very fans that are paying your salary and not think that they don't have a right to criticize. Now, I'll be very transparent and say there are times fans take it too far. Obviously, things shouldn't cross a line. Obviously, you shouldn't be making threats, all of that. I don't see that very much. And again, I'm chronically online, so maybe you guys are seeing things and maybe other people are seeing things that I'm not. I don't see line crossing very often, if at all. Like, I've not seen a lot of people go after Mike Norvell as a person. If anything, they preface what they say negatively about him with, man, he's such a good guy, but he really just stinks. Or he's so nice and I wish he could pull it together, but he's not the right guy for the job. I see that way more than I see things that cross the line. I saw jokes when DJ Uiagalelei was here, but I didn't see things that like attacked who he was as a person. I saw jokes about the way that Tommy played at times last year, but nobody questioned his toughness or his want to win or anything like that. So I think there's this idea of like, oh, well, you're so negative. Of course, the program's going to be in a bad spot. Players see that. And I'm just like, if that is what our players are thinking about on a crucial down and distance, a fourth and two or a third and seven where you've got to get a stop or before a big field goal or whatever the situation is, then you recruited mentally weak players. And I understand, man, I was watching basketball a ton this weekend, obviously with the tournament going on. And I know that people cross the line. I saw the commercials for the way that people sports bet and then they'll DM these players. And obviously all of that is unacceptable. And going after people that, you know, in a threatening way or across the line way, not promoting any of that. But just this idea that Florida State is struggling right now because the fan base is toxic or the fan base is negative is, I mean, it's gaslighting at the very best. Like that's probably the best word you can put on it. And I think it stems from one, a lack of accountability. And I don't know that this so much comes from the program itself, but I do think there are shades of that. Like, I've heard whispers of, oh, well, Jeff Cameron was negative about this, or TJ was negative about this, or Bud Elliott was negative about this, and so it's making our job harder. No, what's making your job harder is going to Stanford as a 17-point favorite and showing up and looking like you didn't give a damn. Like, that's what's making your job harder. What's making your job harder is the fact that every time you get in a recruiting battle with a premier program, whether it's Miami or Georgia or whomever, you look like absolute trash and you can't compete with those programs. And whether it's a money thing because the ad man won't let them spend, or whether it's a recruiting thing because Mike Norvell can't close, or whether it's an effort thing because you had guys on this staff who just didn't give a crap about recruiting and wouldn't reach out to these kids, whatever the issue is, it's not on the fans. The fans have a standard and have an expectation, and ultimately that's not being upheld. If you like a movie series or you like a movie franchise and a new movie or a new show comes out in that series and it sucks, you are well within your rights to tweet at or Instagram post or TikTok or make a reaction video about how bad that was. And why we don't think that's acceptable with FSU athletics, and you're not allowed to be negative about things because, oh man, what these kids might see it. These kids that are getting paid more than most of us to play football can handle it. And if they can't, then we recruited the wrong kids. There's also the aspect of, I would much prefer negativity than I would apathy. And people that are negative about something, Florida State athletics or football, in, you know, to be specific, it means that they still care about it. If you stopped caring, first of all, you wouldn't be tuned in watching right now at, you know, 9:30 in the morning on a Monday, 8:30 if you're Central Time. So shout out the Central Time listeners. If you didn't complain, you wouldn't care. Like, when I go see a movie that I don't really care about, if it's bad, I don't say anything. But if it was a movie I was excited about, if it was something that I was looking forward to seeing and it sucks, then I'm going to complain about it because I cared about that thing. I think it's the same with FSU. The people who are the loudest or the most negative or the most upset, there's a reason that they are that way. And it's because we care. When there stops being negativity, one of two things has happened. Florida State has gotten their head out of their ass and they started doing the things they need to do to be successful, or they were so bad for so long that people just stopped caring. Like, I don't see intense negativity from Nebraska fans ever, right? I never see that from the Huskers. And do you want to know why? Because they don't care anymore. They understand that their team is a perennial 8-4 at best, more than likely 6-6, and they're fine with that. There's nothing else to do in Nebraska. They go out and watch the games. They enjoy the tailgates. They get up for the big wins. They don't care about the losses. They are apathetic because it's been so long since they were relevant. That's the danger when the negativity stops. And again, is it wrong to cross a line? Is it wrong to threaten people? Yes, I'm not endorsing any of that. I've got no problem with the negativity. I've got no problem with people saying, this is our standard, and this is where we're falling short, especially when Florida State Athletics survives on our money, the fans' money. Look at the biggest line item when they come out with their revenue at the end of every year. It is donations from boosters. It is people giving of their own money, whether they have a lot, whether they have a little, whether they've made millions, whether they can barely afford a $70 a year booster payment. It doesn't, it's all in between. The biggest way that Florida State produces money is because we pay them. We buy tickets to games. We buy merchandise. We give to the boosters. We give to the Battle's End. We give to NIL, all these things. To tell people that are financially invested that you can't be negative and you can't talk about these things, and it would be like being a shareholder for a company or a stockholder and the company starts to tank and then you complaining about it. When you are not only emotionally invested, you are financially invested in a product. This idea that, oh, there's too much negativity. You can't talk about that. Just be positive. You being positive on Twitter is what's going to help turn this program around. No, man, finding a guy that's not a complete loser to run the thing is what's going to turn it around. And when the negativity stops, again, one of two things will have happened. Florida State will have figured things out, or they will have gone so far off the deep end that people no longer care. Because you can't just scream and rant and be negative all the time if there's no change, right? Like, you'll just drive yourself crazy doing that. So I don't know. I can look through some comments, but I don't have a, I just think it's lunacy to at all blame the fans. I think from the recruiting angle, from the angle of what the players might see, I didn't even touch on this, but I saw people, somebody replied to me on Twitter and said something about, you know, well, a fan, you know, it's not appropriate if a fan like threatens a coach or, you know, says he's going to fight a coach or whatever. And I was like, man, I don't mean to bring this up, but we literally had screenshots this year of a coach telling a fan to come to the Moore Center and they would handle it there in person. Like, coach, we're in such a place right now where coaches are threatening the fans. And so, yeah, instead of trying to get better or working with your players or call another recruit, we've got coaches that are, you know, trying to set up fades in the parking lot outside of Doak Campbell Stadium. To me, that's a much bigger problem than a fan spouting off on social media. And again, I certainly am not endorsing people that take things to a personal level. I have no personal issues with any one person at Florida State. I have an issue with a program and a person that built that program rolling over in their grave right now, having to watch what this program has become. That's where my issue lies. I don't care if you bring in the Pope to run things and he's the best guy in the world. And I don't care if you bring in, I'm not even going to say a name, but somebody that's just universally hated and the biggest scumbag in the world. I don't care if you bring in Urban Meyer to run this thing. It doesn't matter. I want to win football games on Saturday. That's all I care about. I'm not looking for a moral compass. Jimbo wasn't a nice guy, but he won a lot of games. And so people put up with it. Brian Kelly wasn't a nice guy, but he won a lot of games at Notre Dame. So they put up with it. Urban Meyer was not a good guy, but he won a lot of games at Florida. So people put up with it. I don't care if you bring Bobby Bowden back to coach. I don't care if you bring in the janitor and he's the worst person in the world. I just want to win games. So blaming the fans, I don't know. More, I really wasn't even trying to be negative in that segment, but those are my thoughts on that. Is if you blame the fans, get a grip on life. Like, get some kind of understanding of how football works. If any of our players are thinking about what TJ on Twitter said about them on a crucial 3rd-and-7 or 4th-and-2, then good. You know, we need to recruit different players or better players. Those are the two segments I have. I will look through some comments real quick and then we'll get out of here. Again, thank you to Ashley for starting us off today. If he doesn't win 8 or 9 games, he needs to be fired. If he doesn't get fired, then you got to move on from the athletic director. Yeah, I agree. Has to move. Has to improve in conference play. Yeah, we are so bad in the ACC. We have 3 ACC wins in 2 years. Like, that's just unacceptable. That can't be the standard. FSU said they're beating Florida and Miami this year. Maybe in baseball. Maybe when women's soccer comes back around. I don't see that in football. Maybe you've got a chance against Florida. But I don't know that I have a great feeling. Wins 5 games. If I had to predict it right now, which I feel like this is kind of all over the place. If I had to predict it right now, I'd say that 5 or 6 wins is what's most likely. I think that you win the 3 games I talked about at Boston College. I think you beat Central Arkansas and you beat New Mexico State. I think you could pick up wins against Virginia and NC State because both of those are at home. So there's 5. And then you find 1 win somewhere else, whether that's at Pitt, whether that's against SMU, because we always seem to start pretty well, and that'll be a Monday night in Doak. Like, I think Florida State's got a good chance in that game. Maybe Louisville, Clemson, Miami, Florida seem pretty tough to me. Alabama seems tough. So, I don't know. 6 is possible. 7 would surprise me at this point. It's Norvell's fault by not recruiting and developing key players. I agree. He hasn't built enough good enough roster. Again, year seven, the worst roster I think he's assembled. President Thrasher would have found a way to fire Norvell after 2-10. You know, I did have a lot of confidence in the Board of Trustees to get that done last year. And I don't know. My confidence in them after the ACC thing was sky high. Now it's not close to as high. All the five-star players have lost respect for FSU and Norvell. The portal players are using FSU as a cash cow. Yeah, I mean, there is a narrative around FSU that you can get whatever you want financially because of the situation they're in. I don't think, that's not good. I mean, shoot, the players on the actual roster do that, jump into the portal, and then we beg them to come back and pay them more money. So that narrative's not even false. It's just that we paid in this venture. The community is affected too. How many Spears has Got Spears selling? We're talking about the livelihoods of real people. I talk with John over at Got Spears just about every month and just kind of check in, which shout out to John. I don't even have the spear up in here because we light it on fire, so it gets all dirty. But yeah, it does hurt the local businesses. It does hurt the Garnets and Golds and the Just Spears or the Got Spears, sorry, and people like that. No, it absolutely does. Not having a spring game hurts the local community. Not winning games and people not wanting to go to games and things like that. I do think that is a problem that people don't talk about. Again, this university, this program is just trying to survive. And so I don't know that they really think about that or care about that. But yeah, people aren't buying Spears when we're terrible. So if you're rich or just want to help my buddy John out at Got Spears, go do that and put in the comments that you heard about it on Double Fries, No Slaw. Administration is trying to buy time, keeping Norvell. This is the worst the program has been since the 1960s. Yeah, you basically need Bobby Bowden to rise from the dead and take back over. So maybe he can turn it around because he did it once before. Start off with a new athletic director first. I think Alford's done a lot of good things. When you look at other sports, what your legacy is ultimately tied to is how football does. So I do think that there would be concern about where that program is headed from an administration standpoint too. If you hire a really, really bad employee that tanks your company, you're on the hook for that. Or if you extend him, or, I know Alford didn't hire him specifically. So yeah. All right. That's all I got for today. Wanted to talk about blaming the fans and then Breeze Frey. Am I saying that? Good to be here. Appreciate you being here too. That's all I had though. Talk about those couple of things. If you are in the Tallahassee area, make sure you stop by Garnet and Gold, Guthrie's, all of our friends there, and see them because the sucky football does impact real people's lives too. Not just my mental health. So, all right. Appreciate you guys watching. That's all I've got for this Tuesday. We'll clip these up and get them out at some point this week too. We will be back. I don't even know when, but appreciate you guys that tuned in and watched. We'll talk to you guys soon. Go Noles.